We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is your wake-up call.
Wake the fuck up. The Breakfast Club, the show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earned that.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning and they want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
We in the mother... We in the
Yo.
You all right? Well, listen, hold on. Stop it.
Oh, you can hear me?
Stop it.
Why did you just
stop? Let's try this again. My goodness. You good over there, man?
Hold on, y'all. I can't hear y'all.
Good morning, USA.
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Tuesday.
Can you hear what I yell at you?
I'm in and out. I'm going to get it fixed once we go to bed.
All right. I figured he was just guessing. Well, good morning, everybody. Of course, it's Tuesday.
Yes.
The debates happened last night.
Oh, man, that gave me a headache.
They didn't give me a headache.
They just made me say what Jay-Z told us on his second album, government, F government, we politic ourselves. I'm a vote, but can't none of them candidates save us.
Nope, not at all.
Man,
it looked bad, man. They just seemed like they were just bickering and
beefing. I'm not
going to
lie.
It
made me
arguing.
Not everyone have a conversation with Donald Trump, because I feel like he doesn't answer any questions.
He definitely doesn't.
And he just has in his mind set already what he thinks, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
I don't think Hillary looked bad. I actually think that Hillary is a very experienced candidate. I just think she looks stiff, sort of like all Britney Spears performances nowadays. But the debate was trash.
I mean, you could tell that Hillary was prepared.
I wanted her to be more passionate.
She was prepared. You could tell that she's a politician, that she doesn't turn it off, that she knew exactly where the questions were coming. She knew how to answer them. She was very prepared last night.
Donald Trump. It's not even she knows how to turn it off. It's just that that's all she knows. Yeah. Like, all she knows is how to be a politician. She's been one forever.
Like, I wanted her to, whenever Donald Trump said something that was crazy, to just kind of, because he kept interrupting her.
Right.
I wanted her to be like,
28 times, I think.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Shut up.
Right. Nah, she can't do that. She was better off not engaging Donald Trump the way Donald Trump probably wanted to be engaged, which is by coming at him like that. What'd she say? She used the Michelle Obama quote. We go high when we do
when
the
you
Macarena.
Go, when they go low, we go high.
Nene or something like that?
No, there's no Nene or Macarena over there, bro. But
what is it? What was it with the
when
quote?
When they go low, we go high.
Right.
There you go.
Right. But I guess they set it up to be like the Super Bowl. It was so many cameras. It was set on a huge stage. So many people watched in. I'm glad the debate happened. It also proved that Donald Trump is nowhere fit to run this country. Not even close.
I love that he would say that.
You to realize that?
No, I knew that. But there's a lot of people that really was going to vote for him.
Those same people probably still feel like he knows what he's talking about. But he wants to bring back stop and frisk. That's crazy to me.
Oh, that was hilarious when he was like, look, man, he basically said, until you Negroes stop killing each other, we're going to racially profile
you. And really just for black and Hispanics, he was saying.
Just stop and frisk. Well, I don't know about the stop and frisk, man. I don't know. Before I was against it, but what's been going on recently, I don't know about the stop and frisk.
Keep stopping and frisking you.
That's all right. I ain't got no guns on me. No more.
I bet you you'll have an attitude.
So you're saying that stop and frisk is a necessary evil, is what you're saying?
I'm saying stop and frisk in certain neighborhoods, absolutely, positively,
yes. So you say let's racially profile people.
I'm saying stop and frisk in bad areas. It doesn't have to be bad black areas. It could be bad white areas, bad Asian, bad Asian areas.
You know that is going to target black and Hispanic areas.
Well, if there's areas where crime is high, yes, stop and frisk will work. Yes, absolutely, positively.
That would actually probably make people hate the police even more when you're not doing anything wrong and they keep on stopping and
they got more guns off the street from stop and frisk than anything else in this world. And if you have a gun on you, 9 times out of 10, it's an illegal gun in those bad areas. In those areas.
Wrong.
I don't know. I just wanted to say wrong because Donald Trump kept saying
because you guys have no idea. No, if they're stopping and frisk, usually 9 times out of 10 in bad areas, if they have a gun, it's illegal guns.
So, but they did say last night that when it comes to stop and frisk, even though they have ruled that stop and frisk was unconstitutional, they said when they removed it from New York, the crime rates still have gone down. It's not like they went up because they stopped doing stop and frisk.
But shootings went up. Crime rate went down, but shootings went up.
I
checked
too.
It. Believe me, I was in an incident.
Let me check Lester Holt.
I was in an incident last week,
Lester,
and I checked online. Who the heck is Lester?
Murders have not gone up.
I didn't say murders. I said shootings. There's a difference.
I don't even know if the shootings have gone up.
Yes, they have.
I feel like people manipulate numbers to justify whatever it is that they believe.
Did you say beige people manipulate numbers to do what?
Yeah, she did.
Now I just racist. Know when I see Envy get pulled over by the police, and it could be because he ran a stop sign or he ran a red light, he goes off.
Yeah, but I never got stopped and frisked. I got one time back in the day when I was in a bad area and I should have got stopped and frisked.
I mean, wow. This is kind of a classic example of one bad apple spoils the bunch.
You're right.
So now, I would hate that if I lived in a certain neighborhood and I wasn't doing anything wrong and the police kept on stopping me.
Yeah, but we're paying for the sins of people who are actually doing wrong.
Mm-mm. There's a lot of shootings in Chicago. There's a lot of shootings in Newark. There's a lot of shooting in these bad areas where people have illegal guns. How do you get these illegal guns off the street? They're not just going to give them to you.
So in other words, just give police the authority to do whatever.
In certain areas... Absolutely. Wow. That's what I think. Sorry.
Bring back martial law.
I ain't say that.
Police, stop and fondle all beige men.
There you
please.
Go. Here's Controller. Front Page News is next. We'll talk more about the debate. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, last night was the debate. Let's talk about the debate a little bit.
Right, and apparently Donald Trump interrupted Hillary Clinton, they said, 22 times in 26 minutes.
Drop one of Clues bombs for Donald Trump for wanting to be heard, damn it.
Those are some numbers.
Jesus Christ.
Now, here's some of what Donald Trump had to say, because Hillary Clinton was barely getting a word in at certain points.
You have not released your tax returns. And
I don't mind releasing. I'm under a routine audit, and it'll be released.
You're perfectly free to release your taxes during an audit.
Whether or not in a place like Chicago you do stop and frisk, which worked very well.
Stop and frisk was ruled unconstitutional in New York. The argument is that it's a form of racial profiling.
No, the argument is that we have to take the guns away from these people that have them and that are bad people that shouldn't have them.
All right, so there we go. Do we have more from the debate?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hear some more.
This is a man who has called women pigs, slobs, and dogs. who has said women don't deserve equal pay unless they do as good a job as men.
I was going to say something extremely rough to Hillary, to her family, and I said to myself, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But she spent hundreds of millions of dollars on negative ads on me, many of which are absolutely untrue. It's not nice, and I don't deserve that.
All right.
Listen, man, I watched the debates last night, and the first thing that came to my mind when the debates was over was when Jay-Z said, government, F government, we politic ourselves. I just feel, this is me personally, I'm going to vote, but I'm also going to keep God first. I'm going to stay working, and I'm going to get this money. Because can't nobody on that stage save you, all right? You need to save yourself, kids, if you know what I know.
Absolutely, positively.
And all Donald Trump kept saying was, we need law and order. When they were questioning about police brutality, he just kept saying, we need law and order. We need law and order.
Basically, Donald Trump is not against anything that's happening right now with the police and civilians in America, specifically unarmed black men in America. That's just what I got from the situation. And when the question was brought up about how do we fix the racial divide in America, neither one of them had any solutions.
Right.
Both of them just
was just
regurgitating all the problems we know. We know the hoods are bad. We know the communities are bad. We know that it's systemic racism. We know that relationships between police and the communities need to be better. But how do we get there? Neither one of them provided any of those solutions. Not to me, anyway.
I don't think
bringing back stop and frisk is the answer, especially when there's no proof that stop and frisk even worked in the first place.
Well, they got a lot of guns off the street. The way that the NYPD was doing it was unconstitutional. They didn't do it the way that it was supposed to be done. That's why they pulled it from New York.
Well, they had a 2013 report from the New York Attorney General that found that out of 2.4 million stops by police between 2009 and 2012, the stops resulted in a 3% conviction rate, and just 0.1% of the total stops went on to a violent crime conviction. So I don't
know how effective that is.
Yeah, I don't see how effective.
Well, they said the NYPD actually didn't do it right. They were stopping frisking anybody and didn't do areas where it was a lot of crime in those areas. They said if that was done the right way, it probably would be a lot higher. But they did get a lot of guns off the street regardless, even if you could say it's 1% or 0.1%. They got tons of guns off the street, which is the most important thing.
I don't know if that's a fact. I just don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, in Monday Night Football, the Falcons beat the Saints last night 45-32. Now, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe somebody pissed you off. Maybe you had a bad morning, a bad night. 800-585-1051. Tell them why you're mad. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is DMX, and you know what makes me mad? Ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth, right? Now tell them why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yeah, I'm mad about last night's debate, man. I think even though with the candidates is choosing the lesser two evils, Hillary had chances last night to put Donald away, and she didn't, man. She's tiptoed around the race issue. She's tiptoed around a lot of things, and that's why people don't believe her, because she's too much of a career politician. She don't have no passion for no one particular thing. You know?
Yeah, she definitely tiptoed around the race issue. I just wanted somebody to say, look, man, in some of these police cases, what we're seeing is terrible. I mean, they did say it was a tragedy, but, you know, sometimes just say the police were wrong in some cases.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Jerome.
Jerome, tell him why you mad.
Yo, I'm mad that wifey came in my little man spot last night and cut the debate on. Just cut the game off and cut the debate on.
Oh, you were watching football and she put on a debate instead?
Yeah.
Were you fascinated?
Hell no. I already know I'm going to pick Hillary. You know, debate. I feel was for fools that's kind of in between, but it's not gonna make or break anything at this point.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say I don't care who becomes president, but I just know that neither one of those candidates can do anything for us. I think that we need to start being involved in politics on a more local level. Because that president thing don't mean much, bro.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up? This is Jason, Brooklyn the CT, baby.
Hey, Jason, tell him why you mad.
This is why I'm mad, man. I'm kind of upset at UMV. If you allow cops to frisk and do what they want, they're going to kill more people, baby. We can't do that.
I don't think we can
do to change the world. Instead of everybody just talking on the radio, what we can really do, Envy, is have your father, which is a cop, go on there, and you talk to him like a man and see what we could do to resolve these problems.
Well, first of all, my father's a retired cop, first of all. He doesn't work. He's not on the job anymore. He retired about 20 years ago. Now, and second of all, as far as stop and frisk is concerned, yeah, I believe stop and frisk works in certain areas, especially areas where crime is high. You should absolutely positively check and see who's on the streets. There shouldn't be kids and people on the street hanging on the corner 1, 2 in the morning doing what they do. And you and I both know, if you're from the hood, if you're from the hood, you know what niggas is doing on the corner at 11 to 12. Because those were the kids my mom said, you know what, don't go hang out with them because you know what they're doing on the corner. Yeah, 9 times out of 10, they were robbing. They were selling drugs, and they need to be getting off the corner.
Yeah, I agree.
If you agree, and those kids should be stopping frisk. Those are the people that should be stopping frisk. Not the whole neighborhood, but if you're out there doing bad or you're in the area, yes, you should be stopping frisk.
I think stopping frisk might have been a good concept that was executed wrong because it ended up just being a reason for cops to harass and target African Americans and Hispanics, and it actually did not.
It wasn't effective.
It wasn't effective
at all.
Like, I mean, it just wasn't. Like, the stops resulted in a 3% conviction rate, and just 0.1% of the total stops went on to a violent crime conviction. So then the federal judge ruled it unconstitutional. It just wasn't effective.
For them to intrude on you like that and do all of that for that little bit of effectiveness that really basically did nothing, it kind of wasn't worth it.
Yeah. We'll talk about it more. Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Sorry Beyonce. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, last night, the debate was on television. I'm not sure how many people watched the debate.
I'm not sure how many people watched the debate, but I hope they didn't walk away from the debate feeling like I did, because I told y'all, I walked away with one line in my head, and that was Jay-Z, government, F government, we politic ourselves. I'm going to vote, but like, I'm going to keep telling y'all, keep God first, stay working, and get this money, okay? We got to empower ourselves, because the government damn sure ain't going to do it.
Well, we got rumors coming up. We'll talk about in the rumors.
Yes, we are going to talk about what happened with Beanie Siegel. Now they have video footage. And we were saying earlier, unless we saw some video footage, we wouldn't believe that Beanie Siegel actually did get knocked out.
They just put that Beanie Siegel footage out yesterday to distract us from the debate.
You see footage, too. I think two videos. Did you see two?
I seen one. I think one that TMZ put out that showed Beanie Siegel laid out on the ground. And yesterday, I guess they was trying to shop a video of him actually getting punched because they sent me a screenshot of him actually getting punched.
Yeah, I seen it in Game. Game has a new video, the pest control video. They have the other video.
No, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. What's the other video?
It's on Worldstar. You can see the punch. You see the punch coming and you see it.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, but we'll get all into that in the rumors. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Rumor, rumor, rumor. On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, there were these rumors circulating that Beanie Siegel got knocked out, and that was in Philly at the Bad Boy Family concert. And according to video footage that we've seen now, and Tiffy B, is that his name? Tiffy B from
Tiffy B? I think that's his name. Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right. Tiffy B was a member of Meek's Dream Chasers. He's the one that takes credit for knocking out Beanie Siegel. Check out what he had to say when asked about what happened.
At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? That was like the last straw that broke the camel back, though. You know what I'm saying? Because to forgive and forget and bring you back into the fold of the brotherhood and support you 100% when you ain't had nothing going on, and to get Meek on this track with you and to do all this, and then you go and f*** it up, that was some that ain't thorough nowhere. Don't be no wishy-washy ass. This for the rappers and the real niggas.
Listen, we got to stop interviewing people when they commit crimes, man. Yeah. Like, there's absolutely no reason to do a 20-minute interview. Like, I saw that interview yesterday. I looked at it, and I said, it's 20 minutes. That there's no reason to watch this just because he snuffed somebody.
Well, yeah, like, he said that he and Beanie Siegel knew each other since the late 90s. They're both Muslim. They have a lot of respect for each other.
I wouldn't tell anybody I'm Muslim right now, okay?
Then they asked him whether or not Beanie Siegel got jumped, and he said, do I know anything about it? I know about it. I think Beanie passed out from his diabetic medication. And then he said, you know, he backdoored people with the whole game situation, basically.
But if you both Muslim, why can't y'all sit down and have a peaceful conversation?
I don't know. He said he broke the code of ethics of the streets.
So you broke the code of ethics of Islam, then? What are you talking about? Listen, man, God bless all the 40-plus-year-old street N-words. I feel sorry for y'all because that's the image you have to maintain for life. And Beanie Siegel should have never been in that situation to begin with. Okay, he jumped out the window and sided with Meek and O'Malley and whoever else for whatever reason, and now it's all backfired on him. I don't know what the hell's going on.
We don't know what's going on.
I just don't understand why Beanie don't got no young nephews, no sons, no young cousins that can hold him down.
Well, that was the city. Remember, he just got off stage and said he's the king of Philly's back.
They said he got knocked out before he went on stage. I don't know about that. That's what I read.
That would be a good one.
That would be amazing.
That he still went and performed afterward, but I don't know how true that. I don't know the time frame of what happened when, but
you don't got. But it's like you get snuffed in Philly. Beanie Sigel gets snuffed in Philly, and nobody comes to Beanie's defense. Like not one person. That shows me that a lot of people in those situations are loyal to you based off what opportunity is presented to them at the time. Because Beanie Sigel, Rockefeller State Property, Beanie Sigel, you couldn't snuff him. You know why? Because he had money and he was feeding people.
Or maybe he was just by himself. Maybe it was an off night and he was moving wrong.
Well, you saw the video footage. He probably didn't think it's a Bad Boy concert. You're probably thinking, okay, it's peaceful.
Yeah, he might have been moving wrong.
All right, now let's talk about another fight that happened. Mac Miller and Drake. Well, it's just on the charts, though. Now let's talk about album sales. It seems like Mac Miller is going to sell 40,000 copies.
Okay, dropping a cool bomb for the young boy, Mac.
That's pretty good. Not bad at all. All right, Drake, however, is still doing really well. He's number one with 53,000 units moved. Still, we told you he sold over a billion. That's the first artist that Apple Music has gotten over a billion streams. Is that crazy for views?
That is great. 40,000 for Mac is great, too, because he's an independent artist.
Right, the Divine Feminine. So congratulations. They said 48,000 units and 32,000 in traditional album sales. So that's with streaming and everything. 48,000. That's good for him.
Yeah, he can buy Ariana Grande some donuts with that money.
Yeah,
I'm sure she has enough.
And I think he could have bought her those donuts before that actually happened. And Kendall Jenner is about to turn 21, so you know what that means. This is another battle that's going down as far as who is going to do her 21st birthday party. That's going to happen. Her birthday is November 3rd. Right now, the bidding is already up to $1 million in Vegas for her to just do her 21st birthday party. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's good money. Not that she needs it.
I thought she was 21 already.
I did, too.
You said that so creepy the way you sounded, but anyway, that is.
Let's all be honest. Kylie's not as hot as she was before. Ever since she turned 18, it's like eh.
But Kendall.
Eh.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right. Now, when we come back, we got front page news. We'll talk about the debates that happened last night. So keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. And Monday Night Football, the Falcons beat the Saints 45-32. And also, Miami Heat news, Chris Bosh, he didn't pass the physical.
They said it might be over for him.
They said he's not going to play as a Miami Heat ever again. That's what Pat Riley said yesterday.
I mean, listen, if I'm Chris Bosh, I'm sitting back, I'm collecting that guaranteed money, I'm making some good investments, but I'm worried about my health.
Is it guaranteed if you don't pass the physical, though?
Yes.
You sure?
Hell yeah, he still get his money. Mm. Absolutely. I forgot how much he's guaranteed over the next 3 years, but it's a nice chunk of change.
Mm-mm-mm.
I want to say it's like $72 million, but I could be jumping out the window.
Well, you know he still wants to play, though. He's a basketball player.
Yeah, but I mean, you want to play or you want to live? You got kids.
True.
You got a wife. You know, you got to be here for them. Blood clots is no joke. Nothing to play with.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about the Clinton-Trump face-off, the debate. Part one.
A lot of these issues were center stage yet again. We talked about Donald Trump not wanting to release his tax returns. And she said everybody's done that for the past 39, 40 years. Every candidate has done that. She's released hers. He talked about her email scandal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And let's be clear. Donald Trump did interrupt Hillary Clinton at least 22 times in 26 minutes. He interrupted the moderator as well, Lester Holt. There were all kinds of interruptions that were going on throughout the night. They also disagreed as far as stop and frisk because Donald Trump wants to bring that back. And he also said that law and order is what we need. But Hillary Clinton pointed out that that was ruled unconstitutional. Donald Trump said it wasn't. Check out some of what went down.
You have not released your tax returns. And
I don't mind releasing. I'm under a routine audit, and it'll be released.
You're perfectly free to release your taxes during an audit.
Whether or not in a place like Chicago you do stop and frisk, which worked very well.
Stop and frisk was ruled unconstitutional in New York. The argument is that it's a form of racial profiling.
No, the argument is that we have to take the guns away from these people that have them and that are bad people that shouldn't have them.
I mean, the truth to the matter is, man, it's 12 years of data that show in New York City stop and frisk just wasn't that effective.
No, it showed. It took a lot of guns off the street. Now, you can say it was only 0.1%. But what's not a lot of guns? 900 guns off the street is not a lot of guns?
Where'd you get that number from?
Just answer my question. Is 900 guns off the street a lot of guns?
About yes. A hypothetical number?
It's not a hypothetical question. In 2011, the last year that they did stop and frisk, they actually took, 890 guns off the street. The last year that they did stop and frisk. That's a fact. Fact. Facto.
But the facts are that it didn't even really reduce any crime or keep people any safer, and it didn't really cut numbers at all. So,
I mean, one gun taken off the street is a great thing.
Absolutely.
But overall, it was just an excuse for police officers to harass African-American and Hispanic men.
In certain cases, yes. In certain cases, it was done to pull guns off the street. Last year, New York City, they pulled 200 guns off the street, opposed to close to 900 when they did the stop and frisk.
I mean,
and the thing is, to get those guns off the street, to get those guns off the street.
And they ruled it unconstitutional.
No, they didn't rule it unconstitutional.
You want to hear? They ruled it unconstitutional.
No, they didn't. The U.S. District Court judge didn't say it was unconstitutional. They said the way the police were doing the stops were unconstitutional, but stop and frisk was not unconstitutional, meaning that the way they were pulling people over was foul. But if they targeted the areas and did it the right way, stop and frisk was not unconstitutional.
Well, the problem is...
Envy, I don't know what you just said.
I'm telling you.
I know a federal judge ruled the policy unconstitutional in 2000.
Well, I just want to say one thing. The facts are that it really just wasn't that effective, period.
I don't know if that's true.
It is. It's a fact.
That's not true. If they got 900 guns off the street a year, that's pretty good. Now, you could say 900 guns...
They said guns were found in less than 0.2% of stops.
Are you saying they got 900 guns off the street a year?
Nope. They vary for different years. The last year they did it, they did 800 and I think 90 guns off the street. The last year they did stop and frisk. The year before that was 722. The year before that was 600. Last year, when there was no stop and frisk, there was only, I believe, 280 guns taken off the street. So,
well, I don't know.
They're trying to say that even though stop and frisk, even though they took away stop and frisk, it didn't increase or decrease.
They only took 200 and something guns off the street when they didn't do stop and frisk.
The fact is, though, they did say that guns were found in less than 0.2% of stops. So I don't know.
You can say 0.2, but I'll take 0.2 of $1 billion. Yes, 900 guns off the street.
Well, you can say
it's only 0.2%, but 900 guns off the street is a lot of guns off the street.
But for that
0.2%
of stops, they said that actually was very intrusive to a lot of innocent people that were harassed by the police.
It was very intrusive, but it had to be done the right way.
If it was equal all across the board, that's part of having it being done the right way. If it was equal all across the board and white males were being stopped just as much as black and Hispanics, I wouldn't care.
In neighborhoods where there was, like in Park Slope in Brooklyn, only 24% of the people there are African-American, but they made up 70% of the people that were stopped.
Right.
So it was very disproportionate.
All stop and frisk did was give police officers who already want to harass blacks and Hispanics a reason
to racially profile.
Lawfully to harass blacks and Hispanics.
One last thing. Let's talk about the numbers from the debate last night. There were over 100 million people that watched, 6.7 million tweets that were sent, and 18.7 million people engaged on Facebook. So those were historic debate numbers.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Now, let's talk about stop and frisk. Can it work? 800-585-1051. We're talking stop and frisk this morning. Like I said, the last year they did it in New York City, they pulled close to 900 guns off the street. Since then, about 200. So that's more than a 60% drop of guns coming off the street.
But was it from stop and frisk?
It was from stop and frisk.
All those guns were pulled from stop and frisk.
All these guns were pulled from stop and frisk.
Or they were pulled off the street, period.
No, stop and frisk. That's what I said clearly. Stop and frisk. 800-585-1051. Let's talk about it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Lean Back Terror Squad. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we're talking stop and frisk this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, stop and frisk is when police pull certain people over in certain areas and basically frisk them to see if they have any weapons or contraband on them.
Right.
It was taken out of New York a couple of years ago. And we're talking about, was it a good thing or was it a bad thing? 800-585-1051. I personally didn't believe in stop and frisk at first. I got pulled over before for a stop and frisk incident when I was younger, but I was at a bad place at the bad time where I shouldn't have been. It was late at night, and they stopped and frisked me. I didn't have anything on. I wasn't arrested. But now on the other side of it, now thinking about all the guns that it has pulled off into certain areas, I think stop and frisk is a good thing when it's done right. And when I say when it's done right, in areas where there's criminal activity, a lot of criminal activity, a lot of shootings, a lot of robberies, a lot of assaults, I think the stop and frisk will work in those areas, whether it's Chicago, and not the whole Chicago, in the areas where crime is high. In Newark, not the whole Newark, in Newark where the crime is high. In Patterson, in those places, absolutely positively.
Well, so you're saying only in good neighborhoods?
I'm saying where crime is. It doesn't matter what neighborhood, where the crime is highest.
Well, unfortunately, stop and frisk wasn't done correctly. You know, I mean, the 2013 report from the New York Attorney General found that out of 2.4 million stops by police between 2009 and 2012, the stops resulted in just a 3% conviction rate, and just 0.1% of the total stops went on to a violent crime conviction. And a federal judge ruled the policy unconstitutional in 2013 because it showed that it only targeted African Americans and Hispanics more than anybody.
About 90% of the people that were stopped were Black or Latino.
Yeah, that's just not fair and balanced across the board. If it was a fair and balanced thing across the board where everybody was getting stopped and frisked in these high crime areas, then that'd be different.
And we don't know how effective it could be, because they say no research has ever proven that it was effective at all.
Well, 800, and it, also, 800 it actually,
in my opinion, also ruins the trust between people in the community and the police officers, because there's a lot of innocent people being stopped and harassed. Then now they have an issue with police.
800 guns off the street is effective. 700 guns the year before that is effective.
Well, it didn't make any crime rates drop.
No, in the 12 years that they did it, crime rate was down 40%.
They said that larger violent crimes were down all across the United States.
Down regardless. I'm talking about New York, where they actually did the stop and frisk.
They said
crime went down 40% in 12 years that they did the stop and frisk. And that is fact.
While violent crimes fell 29% in New York City.
Hey, guys, Hillary.
Let the facts go.
Tanisha, I'm from Virginia, and I wanted to speak on the stop and frisk.
Go ahead, Mama.
So I just feel like they spoke on systemic racism during the debate. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to stop and frisk people, Black people especially, that's still another form of oppression. You're just stopping and frisking us, basically not giving us our rights. So you're taking away my Fourth Amendment. Because even if you stop and frisk me and I have a weapon or I have drugs, then I can exclude the evidence by going to trial. It's the same thing the police are doing when they shooting innocent Black people.
Well, it's a little
and getting away with it.
It's a little different when you go to criminal areas. And I'm not mad at you if you don't get convicted. I want that gun off the street. You're not going to convict everybody that you try. There's so many different ways that you can get in and out, but the fact that that gun is off the street means another person won't get killed or shot.
I'm trying to find these numbers where you say all these guns got taken off the street.
It does say that violent crimes fell 29% in New York City, but they said it wasn't because of stop and frisk. It actually stopped everywhere in L.A., in New Orleans, in Dallas, and in Baltimore. So it wasn't because
I didn't look at those areas. I just looked up New York where they do stop and frisk. Hello,
right,
who's this?
Numbers were down everywhere.
This is Tito.
Tito, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on? We're talking stop and frisk this morning.
I think if you're going to do it, then you have to document each and individual race that you stop and frisk. So it has to be X amount of whites, X amount of Latinos, X amount of Black. That's the only way it'll work.
I agree. Wherever the criminal areas are, whether it's a Black area, whether it's a white area, whether it's an Asian area, wherever the criminal activity is. I'm not saying go to all the Black areas. No, wherever there's criminal activity, those are the areas they go to.
But that's the problem. Like, a lot of the high crime areas are the areas where minorities are. So either way, minorities are going to be targeted by stop and frisk more than everybody.
I'd rather we concentrate our efforts on after-school programs for kids to keep kids, you know, off the streets and help the parents out when they have to work jobs and the kids have nothing to do.
I'd rather
concentrate efforts on doing things that could actually make a change for generations to come.
The kids that are going to those after-school programs are going to go to the after-school programs. The kids that stay in the streets, that's on those corners
late at
night.
Well, I just had a woman in here who...
cut me off again. The kids that are on those corners...
Donald, let Hillary talk.
The kids that are on those corners are the kids that are on those corners doing bad.
I just had a woman in here who has four kids, and she says the after-school programs...
Donald, let Hillary talk.
Hillary, go.
800-585-1051.
Can I say what I was going to say?
I didn't finish what I was saying. So
you're
we'll talk about it when
for
we come
number.
Back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're talking stop and frisk this morning. Now, Donald Trump mentioned stop and frisk yesterday during the debate. We have audio.
Whether or not in a place like Chicago you do stop and frisk, which worked very well.
Stop and frisk was ruled unconstitutional in New York. The argument is that it's a form of racial profiling.
No, the argument is that we have to take the guns away from these people that have them and that are bad people that shouldn't have them.
Now, 800-585-1051, we're asking stop and frisk.
I just don't think stop and frisk was that effective. I mean, there's so much data that shows it wasn't. And I mean, I just can't agree with a law that is basically giving police officers the right to profile us, the right to harass us. Like, I just, if it was effective, it'd be a different thing. And I'm reading this article from the Daily News from 2014, and it said New York cops seized nearly 400 guns during stop and frisk encounters in the past year, and that was the lowest tally since 2003. So, Envy, you said that they took, like, 800 guns off the street. When?
In 2011, they took 819 guns off the street. That was only, like you said, 1% of the stops, but 1% of $1 billion is a lot, and that's 819
guns. But how'd they take 800 guns off the street if they said they seized nearly 400 guns during stop and frisk encounters in 2014, and that was the lowest tally since 2003?
Yeah, but 2014, they don't have stop and frisk anymore. That's what I'm saying. That's my point. When they had stop and frisk, they pulled more guns off the street. And like you just said, in 2014, where there was no stop and frisk, it was the lowest amount of guns they pulled off the street. That's what I'm saying.
But the past year, it was August 2014, so that was the year prior. So they said the past year. So from whenever the 2013 was when they stopped and frisked, the lowest tally was they seized 400 guns.
2012 was the last year stop and frisk. 2013, 14, 15, and 16, I believe, they still had it. But the highest, like I said, was 819.
And what year was that?
2011.
Hmm.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Anonymous.
Okay, Anonymous. We're talking stop and frisk. How do you feel?
I'm all for it, but you gotta go about it a certain way. And if you're going to go stop and frisk, you got to put it on every neighborhood. From low-income neighborhoods to working neighborhoods, you got to have it in every kind of suburbs, the low-income areas. You got to have it everywhere. There's a lot of suburb areas where all these little young kids running around with guns, too. So let's stop and frisk them, too. But it's how you go about it. You cannot just jump out the white van and just put people on the wall.
I agree.
No? If we're going to do that, let's start doing it on these cops. They live in the suburbs. Let's do it with their kids.
You know they're not going to do that.
I agree. It has to be done the right way. Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Billy Buford from Detroit.
Hey, Billy Buford. We're talking stop and frisk. What do you think?
Envy, you're totally wrong on this one this time, man. We done went through so much as it is of what the city going through and the state going through. I mean, the United States going through. Don't nobody got time to be walking to the store and get pulled over and getting worried about getting searched by a gun. To me, it would still be like racial profiling. No matter how they do it, if they did it the right way, I still feel like they was racial profiling because they done did so much to us. I'm 42 years old. I can't be with my kids getting searched for a gun every time I come out of age at a time.
I mean, it shows stop and frisk proves that it is racial profiling. When you got 90% of the people being stopped being black and Hispanics, like, yeah.
Even in white neighborhoods.
Yeah, that's profiling.
I think if it's done right and it's done in the areas where there is a high crime volume, I think it can be done right. And I think it could take a lot of guns off the street, and it has taken a lot of guns off the street.
Now, here's a fact from the New York City Civil Liberties Union. No research has ever proven the effectiveness of New York City's stop and frisk regime, and the small number of arrest summonses and guns recovered demonstrates that the practice is ineffective. Crime data also does not support the claim that New York City is safer because of the practice. While violent crimes fell 29% in New York City from 2001 to 2010, other large cities experience larger violent crime declines without relying on stop and frisk abuses. 59% in L.A., 56% in New Orleans, 49% in Dallas, and 37% in Baltimore.
I don't know how you could say 819 guns off the street is not effective. I can't understand how you say that.
I mean, that is great, but I mean, when you got
that is very effective.
When you got another 200,000 people who were just inconvenienced. And they didn't find anything on them. That's not really effective, man.
I think they got to change the way they do
stop and frisk. And when you got 90% of people that are black and Hispanic being stopped and frisked, that's a problem, bro.
That is.
I think the only thing stop and frisk did was increase profile.
I just don't know what's the right way.
Took a lot of guns off, though. But what's the moral of the story, guys?
The moral of the story is power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I don't think that law enforcement should have that kind of power to be able to stop and frisk you whenever they please.
All right. Well, we got rumors coming up.
We'll be talking about Hillary Clinton and something that's going to be happening, who's going to be interviewing her. It was a little awkward, so we'll see how this goes. Also, LeBron is talking about Colin Kaepernick. He said he will not follow his lead, but he respects it.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report. This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, LeBron says he is not going to follow in Colin Kaepernick's footsteps when it comes to the national anthem. He is still going to stand. Here's what he had to say.
I'm all in favor of anyone being able to express what they believe in a peaceful manner. And that's exactly what Colin Kaepernick is doing, and I respect that. You know, me standing for the national anthem is something I will do. That's who I am. But that doesn't mean I don't respect and don't agree with what Colin Kaepernick is doing. What I do not like about the situation is the negative attention that has been thrown upon him from certain people, because it's not deserved.
A very mature statement, even though he chooses to stand. That's his decision. But he does agree with the peaceful statement that Colin Kaepernick is making.
Yeah, I saw LeBron getting backlash on social media yesterday, but I think it's because he used the term All Lives Matter, that is, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh. Mm. And speaking of All Lives Matter, you know that Fantasia was planning to do an All Lives Matter concert. It was supposed to be in Charlotte. And due to logistical reasons, it was canceled. But they went in on Fantasia as well for planning this All Lives Matter concert. If you know about it, the flyer had also been going around, and Anthony Hamilton was on the flyer. But he said he didn't even know that it was an All Lives Matter concert. Check out what he had to say when people started going in on him.
Unfortunately, there was a flyer put out with my name on it that I didn't approve, an All Lives Matter flyer. If you really want to know how I feel about our people and where we are and the injustice, there's an article I wrote about 2 days ago. Go to theroots.com and you can see exactly how I feel. I'm a father of 6 black males, so black lives do matter, and I approve this message.
In Fantasia's defense, the flyer did say Black Lives Matter, but she can't read.
Shut up. It did not say that.
It did not, man.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was the best idea for her, but it wasn't going to happen. All right, now Hillary Clinton, she's going to be interviewed by Mary J. Blige. This is going to be for Apple Music.
Where you going?
I'm out.
Now,
it's a show called It's called The 411, which is a reference to What's the 411, which was Mary J. Blige's album. Now, this interview is going to happen on September 30th, and they are promising that this is as you've never seen them before. Mary J. Blige and Hillary Clinton together. They're going to be talking about all kinds of things like race, police brutality, identity in America, and there's even some singing. Check it out.
I walked in. No. Okay.
Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? This is your life. It ain't no secret. It ain't no secret. No secret, my friend. You can get killed just for living in your American skin.
Oh, boy.
I just want to know, where do we go from here?
All right, first of all, I'm sick and tired of people setting up Mary J. Blige for the okey-doke, okay? Why didn't anyone tell Mary J. Blige that wasn't a good idea?
Now, we can't blame Kendu for this one.
Nope.
And then, you know, I'm looking at the video, and Hillary's sitting up there looking dumbfounded, like nobody even told her that this was a part of the whole interview, that Mary J. Blige was just going to break out in song.
Now, let me set it up for you, because it is set up interview style. It's Mary J. Blige sitting across from Hillary Clinton about to interview her, but then she starts singing. And Hillary Clinton looks just like how you would look if you were getting serenaded in the club but didn't know what to do and didn't want to make eye contact.
Yep. Then some guy sends a guy to sing to you and express their love, and you're like, what the hell? And then Mary's sitting there dressed like Edna Mode from The Incredibles. Mm-hmm. She got the bowl haircut with the big-ass glasses. And you know what?
What?
I'm not giving Mary Donkey today, because Mary is a legend, and I'm hoping that this whole video is taken out of context. So we're going to wait and see on September 30th if this has anything to do with anything.
Now, there's other audio, too, of her singing, too.
Crispy chicken, fresh three cheeses, fresh dressing wrapped up in a tasty flour tortilla. Crispy chicken wrapped up in a...
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. People said that Mary was cooning when she did that crispy chicken video. What she was doing in that Hillary video sounds like more cooning than in that crispy chicken video.
Just
my opinion. But I'm just going to wait until September 30th to see if that whole little snippet we heard is put into a better context.
All right, that is your rumor
report.
I'm
really praying to this.
I'm Angela Yee.
All right. Well, we got Donkey today coming.
I don't want to give Mary J. Blige Donkey today. Why would I want to do such a thing?
Well, who are you giving Donkey today?
I did it before for the crispy chicken thing, but I don't want to do that no more in my life. Like, why? Why?
Who are you giving Donkey to today?
Oh, hold on. Okay. Donkey today is going to everybody who had something negative to say about the debate moderator, Lester Holt. Okay? Last night. We'll talk about it.
Lester what? All right.
Lester Holt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. We'll get to Donkey today up next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the Donkey of
of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Wow, Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, September 27th goes to all you people out there who are giving debate moderator Lester Holt a hard time on social media last night. It pisses me off when I go to a website like Fortune and read headlines like the internet wants to know what happened to Lester Holt at the presidential debate. People were highly upset at Lester Holt's involvement or lack thereof as old Lester refrained from interrupting presidential candidates Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in their answers. I mean, I saw people tweeting things like, RIP Lester Holt. Is Lester Holt still there? My guy, Mark Lamont Hill, tweeted, we need a new hashtag, where is Lester? Dude is invisible while they still argue and interrupt each other over the second question. Rita Wilson tweeted, why is Lester Holt not moderating this? Larry Wilmore tweeted, Lester Holt's got that cool substitute teacher vibe going. And I was getting so many tweets saying, give Lester Holt Donkey of the Day this morning. But, you know, Lester last night was literally trapped between a rock and a hard place. I was watching that debate last night, and yes, quite a few times I forgot Lester was there. But when I did remember Lester was there, all I was thinking was, I would hate to be him. You can't put toothpaste back in the tube, okay? Try it. Whether it's Crest, Colgate, whatever you use, let a little paste come out the tube and then try to put it back in and realize how difficult that is, okay? That's how it feels to moderate a debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And it's not even so much Hillary, okay? It's Donald. He simply doesn't listen. He speaks when he wants, interrupts when he wants. He doesn't care about facts. He overtalks. You can't stop Donald Trump. You can only hope to contain him. Lester Holt held the card in the row for as long as he could. But when two people are passionate, it's almost impossible to have a civilized debate. I think Hillary doesn't respect Donald Trump because he's not a politician and she can't believe how he got there, just like the rest of us. And Donald Trump doesn't respect Hillary because she's a woman. Straight like that. And when two people don't have respect for each other, there will not be a civilized conversation. I think we are asking too much of Lester to try to moderate between Hillary and Trump. In fact, we shouldn't expect him to. This whole 2016 presidential campaign has been the epitome of messy. And now y'all want somebody to come in and try to clean it up and make sense of it? Stop it. Please give all the people insulting Lester Holt the biggest hee-haw. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, Donald Trump, you know, he's like an NFC East team, okay? And then when the NFC East team is 7-9, and then they win the division, but somehow or another they make it to the Super Bowl, and we're all sitting back like, how? Why? Why is he there? Stop it.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today, sir. Mm-hmm. Now, we could go two ways in this next one.
I want y'all to fight some more. That was very entertaining for me last hour.
Now, we did that 6 or 7 o'clock, I hope.
You sure y'all don't want to fight anymore? I mean, I love...
It wasn't a fight, just difference of opinions. Ain't no fight.
I loved the passionate difference of opinion. It was like we was having our own debate in here. I understood how Lester Holt felt in that moment, you know?
Well, you kept interrupting.
Not me.
Yeah,
and
you.
And kept interrupting.
No, you kept interrupting.
I was trying to get y'all to have a civilized conversation.
And you were screaming. You kept saying, shut up.
I was like, let Hillary talk, Donald.
My name's not Donald.
You being Donald. Angela being Hillary.
I thought that envy was Hillary.
No, I thought you were Donald, though, right?
Right. According to you.
According to me.
I said, y'all don't want to fight no more?
I'm not fighting anyway.
Listen, we just don't agree. It's okay.
Okay.
A lot of times I don't agree with you either. Imagine if we had to fight every time we didn't agree.
Okay, well, last hour we asked, what do you think of stop and frisk? And that caused a nice little argument. So I think this hour we should ask, what do you think of frisk and stop?
Shut up, man. 800-585-1051. What's the best argument you ever got into it? Was it with your spouse? Was it with your coworker, your
What's
mama, your daddy?
What's a great argument?
I don't know.
Maybe the worst argument?
The worst argument we can do. The worst argument you ever
the
got into.
The worst argument is the argument you lose.
That's why I said maybe
no,
it
the
could
worst
be the
argument
best
is
argument.
When you guys don't talk to each other for months. Or you even break up over a stupid argument.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Clearly, are the worst arguments.
What's the stupidest thing you ever got into an argument over?
Yeah,
we get into arguments sometimes, and they start off so small, and next thing you know, you're not talking to each other. Somebody's sleeping in the other room.
800
for no reason.
585-1051. What's the dumbest argument you got into? Or the worst? Call us up right now.
Mine had to do with stop and frisk.
It's the Breakfast Club. That was... is Drake, RiRi, Too Good. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, we're talking what is the worst argument that you ever got into, or the dumbest argument you ever got into. 800-585-1051. Angela Yee.
Yes.
What is the worst argument you ever got into?
You know, sometimes I get into these little petty arguments. We argue about music and things like that a lot. I think just the other day, we got into an argument about what makes an artist a star. And I was telling one of my friends, L'Oreal, I was saying that I think that nowadays we're too quick to call artists stars when they've only had like one song that had, you know, 10 million views. And she's very quick to be like, oh, that person's a star. They blew up, blah, blah, blah. So it was a dumb argument and it ended up getting out of hand.
Yeah, I can honestly say that most of the stupidest arguments I have found myself in as an adult have to do with hip hop in some way, shape or form. I refuse to have those conversations. Like literally last night, I was sitting with one of my homeboys. I'm not going to say his name. And he started having a conversation with me about Biggie Smalls, and it turned
it's
into
like a dumb argument.
It's like, yeah, it turned into like Puffy paid somebody to kill Biggie and Pac. And as soon as he said that, I zoned out. I went to my phone. I'm like, I'm not even gonna have this conversation. Like, like I'm not having arguments about things that nobody can prove that are just that far fetched. Like, I'm not doing it.
And it's the worst when there's people around and they're like, what the hell is wrong with y'all? Shut up.
I'm not doing it. I'm not having it. I'm not even having those conversations. It's just stupid.
I think for me, I think the biggest argument was over a phone charger. You ever have a phone charger and then you go back and that phone charger is not there and you say, why did you move my phone charger? There's no reason to move my phone charger. Get your own phone charger. And then that phone charger argument gets everything else in the house. I think mine had to do with a phone charger.
But you know what? The thing about arguing, you always have to ask yourself, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy when it comes to arguing? Like the other stupidest argument that
absolutely.
I can honestly remember having lately is I get upset when my wife starts a Netflix show without me. I'm gonna be honest with you. If it's a Netflix show that we're watching together,
that annoys me too.
I'm the same way.
Like I haven't seen the last episode of Power. That's not on Netflix, but I haven't seen the last episode of Power. She can't watch the last episode of Power till I do. And if I come home and I find out she watched it, I'm gonna start an argument.
But
I am.
But we work crazy hours. They're home and they're waiting for that last episode.
No, she better watch something else.
Yeah, we got to wait till the weekend.
But then what can she watch? Because everything else that she wants to start, you want to watch,
too. She better
too.
Watch a movie we all seen already.
You know what you know what she can watch?
What?
The kids.
The kids.
Okay?
The kids
you, watch them, you watch them kids during the week, and on weekends when we home, you know, we catch up on our show.
Nah, you traveling. I want to watch that. You can't watch The Bachelor
or she
too
should
many
just
times.
Watch it and keep quiet.
Nah, bro. And then she like to hit me with, I got it on my tablet. I don't care. That ain't the TV. I don't watch TV shows on a tablet. I'm old.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Janelle.
Hey, Janelle, what's the stupidest or dumbest argument you ever got into? Over what?
Oh, my gosh, the dumbest argument I ever got into was over shrimp.
Shrimp?
Let me tell you. Yeah, shrimp. Let me tell you, like, I'm military, so we were stationed in Korea. I was, like, 6 months pregnant, and my fiancé, my son's father at the time, ate my damn shrimp. Like, ooh. I went out at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning to go get this damn shrimp. Like, bad enough, I'm in Korea. I can't eat what I would like to eat or what I'm craving. So I got my shrimp in the refrigerator. I go get in the shower. I came back, and this nigga ate my shrimp.
Damn.
For real. So we got into, like, the biggest argument. We ain't even talked for, like, a week.
Was it fried shrimp or Cajun shrimp?
It was like, sautéed shrimp, but they use, like, the Cajun seasoning. But that was, like, the best thing you can get in Korea, you know what I'm saying?
Damn it, man. Sorry for your shrimp, mama.
You get back to the States and you use your EBT to buy more shrimp, man. Relax.
Hello, who's this?
It's Francis, man, in Houston, Texas.
It's the dumbest or worst argument you ever got into.
Man, this one of the most recent ones. I've been with my dad for about 6 years, so some of the medicine she uses a certain amount every day for a month, and she tells me, oh, man, so this medicine never lasts me nothing but a month. So I get it this month, and I'm going to use a smaller amount, and it still only lasts me a month. I'm like, babe, that don't make sense. If you have a 16-ounce bottle of medicine, you use a smaller amount, it should have lasted you longer.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong, but y'all arguing over lean?
Nah,
I feel like y'all arguing over lean, bro.
Cosmetology, man. cosmetic medicine, man.
All right. Sound like lean to me, too. Tell us your dumbest argument right now, 800-585-1051. What's the worst argument you got into that was just stupid? It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Yeah. That was Beyonce with Sorry. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. 800-585-1051. We're asking, what is the dumbest argument or the stupidest argument you got into? Angela Yee said it was about music.
Right, it was over music. It was silly.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely Netflix because I get very upset. Not even just Netflix. Any show that me and my wife are binge watching, if you watch an episode without me, I get upset over stupid stuff like that.
Mine is the Netflix as well. Also, the phone charger, man. The phone charger is my thing because for some reason they become missing. And I don't know how they become missing. I don't know if there's a phone charger monster that eats all the phone chargers, but they just become missing. Don't take my phone charger.
Yeah, and with the Netflix thing, it's not even just a Netflix thing, man. If somebody watches a Netflix, you know, if you and your wife or girl are binge watching a show and she watches it without you, your mind automatically goes to, well, what else aren't you telling me? What else are you doing and not telling me?
Also, you get into an argument if you're out with somebody and they are on their phone the whole time and you're at dinner.
Oh, that's just rude. Oh, yeah.
I'll argue over that, too.
But that's, you know what? That's not really a dumb reason for women to be upset. I understand why women are upset because you should be being attentive and spending time with your woman in that moment, not be on damn Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat.
Hello, who's this?
This is Ashley.
Hey, we're talking about the dumbest argument you got into.
Yes, the dumbest argument I ever got into was with my best friend of 2 decades, almost 20 years. Her son and my son finally started going to the same private school. And mind you, they like 3 years apart. She bought her son's tie, bow tie, you know, like the private uniform.
Right.
Bow tie. She picked it up. She couldn't find where she put it. Do you know she accused me of stealing her son's tie?
Really?
Did you give it back?
I didn't take the damn tie. I made $60,000. That tie was $8.99. Bitch, I can buy you a new tie because you misplaced it. The T-E is...
You stole that tie. You stole that tie.
She definitely stole the tie.
You stole the tie. You stole the tie. Yes, you did.
Mama,
she
found the tie. Trust me, she found the tie.
Oh, you put it
back. Because you put it back when you found it. Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. After I moved, she finds the tie, though. And after I sat up there and dumped everything in the floor, she finds the damn tie. But the tee here, I said, when have I ever stole anything? She says, oh, you stole my son Wii U charger. Are you serious?
Oh, you stole a charger, too?
Yeah, you got sticky fingers, man.
Yeah, you taking
it. Man, let me tell you something. I ain't never steal from nobody in my life. Oh, you
lie.
If I can't ask you for it, then I don't need it. But I'm not still a tie. I'm still mad to this day. 20-year friendship over nothing?
What about them tampons you stole from Walmart that one time?
I ain't steal no damn tampons. I got it free at my job, so I had to steal those.
You worked at Walmart and just decided to walk out with them.
Watch your mouth. All right, thank you,
Mama. I'm sorry she got caught.
What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is discussions are always better than arguments because an argument is to find out who is right and the discussion is to find out what is right. It's a difference.
I like the moral of the story you said better earlier when you were like, sometimes you got to decide if an argument is worth winning or you just want to be happy.
Yeah, I mean, you got to choose happiness or you want to choose to be right.
Happiness, bro.
I mean, it depends. If I'm right, I still want to be right. But you know what, though? If you're right... That should make you happy. Like, knowing you're
absolutely
right. Like, knowing you're right, you don't have to prove that to anybody. Like, the truth don't need no defense. The truth just needs witnesses. So once you lay that truth down and people know that you're right, you just walk away from it. You don't got to keep going back and forth with a person. For what?
Get right or get left.
Get down and lay down.
All right, guys. Rumors on the way.
Stop and frisk.
Guess who is in the middle of this beef now between Meek Mill, The Game, Beanie Siegel? Now somebody else has a diss record out.
Oh, God.
Oh, God is right.
Oh, boy. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip.
Gossip.
The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, we told you there's been a lot of altercations outside of this whole Meek Mill and The Game beef. Now, Beanie Siegel was somehow dragged into the middle of this, and there's video footage of him getting knocked out at the Bad Boy concert in Philly before he went on stage. And then there's also now footage of The Game performing, and he has the whole crowd chanting this. That's F. Meek Mill is what they're chanting.
All I hear is a bunch of people who need to be stopped and frisked. I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Now, in addition to this, there's another artist who has put out a diss song, and this person is Dragon, former Rough Riders artist. Okay, now,
Dragon.
The reason why Dragon is in this now is because The Game, in his 92 Bars diss, said, I'm the old DMX, you N-words, Dragon.
You mean Dragon, down bottom Dragon?
Yes.
Here is Dragon's response.
On the gram, taking pictures in his drawers. That ain't no real image at all. With a tongue ring. What the fuck is that for? You mentioned drag, don't fuck with that ball. Ziggins at your crib, don't open that door. I'll have it in them trees scoping that ball. Side passe, and I ain't playing with the booty. 92 bars and 86 of them duty. But fam, check this out, my nigga. Don't ever mention my name, big bro. Unless you putting some legendary shit on it, you feel me?
Why? I mean, why? What? When did Game mention? Did I miss something? When did Game mention Dragon's name?
He posted, warning, part 20 out now. It's game time. Don't play with me, N-word. Don't do nothing stupid. Click that link in my bio now.
You know how they always say rap is a young man's sport? Rap is only a young man's sport when you don't evolve and when you don't grow. When you're like late 30s, early 40s, and you're still acting the same way you did when you was 20-something years old, it's time to let it go. Because that Dragon freestyle to me just now sounded stupid.
There was like three parts to it, I believe, too.
I don't even know why. I don't even know the context behind it. Like,
I just told you why.
You don't listen, do you?
I didn't hear that part.
I said The Game and his 92 bars diss song, he mentions Dragon.
In a disrespectful way?
Oh, he said, I'm the old DMX, you N-words, drag on. In other words...
Drag on wasn't whack, though. I wouldn't tell him. Okay, I don't know.
I'm just saying, I guess he felt a way about being...
That was a little stab. It was a little stab.
Okay, just stop and frisk, drag on.
You can't stop and frisk everybody.
Well, oh, really, you know, NB? You said we could. Don't try to flip now.
It depends what area
Twitter's
is
on your ass.
I don't care. It depends what area is in.
That's
it depends
so wrong, what area is in.
I saw the video.
A high crime area, then you got to stop and frisk him.
I saw the video. Dragon looked like he shot that in a high crime area on a
You got to stop and frisk him, though. You got to stop and frisk him.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about this stop and frisk, because guess who was just stopped? Black youngster, okay?
I have no problem with that.
No, now you don't have a problem with it.
I can see why that would happen.
Now, he posted on Instagram, F the police on my mama. These bitch-ass rats pulled me over in the middle of South Memphis today and had me hostage the whole day for ish and pulled all my cards without giving me a speeding ticket or ish. Plus, I gave them my driver's license, my insurance, and all the proper paperwork to my cars, still did this ish. I think it's sad how they treat black people. This is the most racist ish I've done witnessed with my own eyes.
I mean, the truth to the... Okay.
He said, I hate to see a... He said, I promise these... I don't know if I can say all
You can't say it, because you missed
well,
the one already.
The moral of the story is stop and frisk is some racist-ish. And when you're pulling people over just because they fit a profile and you're doing it under the guise of stopping and frisking, this is the problem. And the more interactions that, you know, young black males have with police, the more liable something is to happen crazy, maybe. And we don't, you know, like the unarmed shooting of black men. That's all I'm saying.
Like, I believe that if something happened, a crime happened, and there's probable cause... Then you can stop people, but you don't need stop and frisk, you know.
Well, that's your opinion.
That's my opinion, but stop and frisk is not happening right now. So
I'm going to send Envy this article. It's a good article that Huffington Post put up, and it's Trump claims stop and frisk suppress crime in New York, but crime rates are lower without it.
As they proved in other major cities. All right.
And I'm going to tell you this. I'll leave it.
Go ahead, Envy, go.
Let me do my rumor report.
You're trending, so keep going, Envy. Push. Push through, Envy. Push through.
Would you stop? All right, and how do you feel about this? Robert Kardashian is upset because I guess his family was trying to put together a baby shower for him, but they didn't invite Blac Chyna. Ain't she the one having the baby?
What do you mean?
Right, so he posted on Twitter. He put out Kylie's phone number. He said, I ain't hacked either. This is Rob. He put out a number again. And then he said, didn't invite the mother of my child to a baby shower you all were trying to throw for me. You all must have lost your damn minds. And
that's kind of crazy. That
if they pulled over a van full of Kardashians, they would stop and frisk only Blac Chyna. They wouldn't mess with like Blac Chyna and Kanye would be the only ones that get stopped and frisked.
Right. Somebody tweeted him back, and this was in a comment creeping, what a loser. And he said, I'm a loser because I stand up for my woman and want her to be included in my first baby shower ever and enjoy the moments of being a first-time dad. Shut the F up.
Why are they having a baby shower for that fat-ass boy? Men don't get baby showers?
Stop it. All right.
What am I missing here? Am I missing something?
That is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right.
I'm starting to think I'm on drugs.
Thank you, Missy.
I thought that.
And also, shout out to the Revolt Music Conference. We're taking over Miami October 13th through the 16th at the world-famous Eden Rock Hotel.
Definitely got to stop and frisk everybody at the Eden Rock.
At that hotel.
The Breakfast Club will be there for a special live broadcast.
Envy really is trending.
And we have an exclusive deal only for the Breakfast Club listeners. Log on to revoltmusicconference.com and use the promo code BREAKFASTRMC to save 15% off registration. That's revoltmusicconference.com with promo code BREAKFASTRMC. And we'll see you out in Miami. All right?
I won't be there.
I know you won't.
You're not going?
Nope. You know why? because they're not stopping and frisking everybody in the Eden Rock Hotel.
Oh, man. Well, just the people that look suspicious.
Hey, they need to.
All right.
Feel safer.
The People's Choice mixes up next. You want to hear something at DJ MV 800-585-1051 with your request. We got you. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Oh, Revolt. See you later.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.